The text is from John 21, the Gospel. Afterward, Jesus appeared to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, then you'll find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, but they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals. There was fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Here ends our text. When two things that should be connected aren't, that's a disconnect. Physical ones occur in the area of plumbing and wiring. There are other kinds. The teen who thinks his parents' midnight curfew means two. The husband who's sure his wife likes hockey as much as he does. A disconnect can be styled a misunderstanding, but it's more like information not getting through at all. Our text deals with that kind of disconnect. The verses right before our text read, "Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." The seven disciples in the boat, they got this much. They have this faith, and so do we. We get that the man Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, first promised to Adam and Eve, who would crush the head of the devil. Jesus is the seed promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus is the real Passover lamb that Moses' Passover lamb pointed to. Jesus is the heir to David's royal throne. He is the suffering servant that Isaiah said would bear sins and redeem sinners. The seven fishermen, and we too, get that the man Jesus is the Christ promised in the Old Testament. And we with them get that the Christ is God the Son. He's the Lord who walked with Adam in Eden. He's the Lord who lunched with Abraham. He's the Lord who met with Moses on Sinai. He's the Lord who dwelled in Solomon's temple. The Son of Man is none, Jesus of Nazareth is none other than the Lord. Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. That didn't get him crucified. His claiming to be God did. Already in John 5, we're told this was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Before Pilate on Good Friday, the Jewish leaders said, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." We believe with the seven fishermen that the man Jesus is the Christ and is the Son of God. And in this faith, we have life in his name. God the Son won life for us by coming down from heaven to fulfill the Ten Commandments and pay the price of everyone else breaking them. The Son finished keeping the law and paying for sins on Good Friday. The Father declared he accepted Jesus' perfect life and innocent death in place of all people by raising Jesus from the dead. The seven in the boat believe this. We believe this. So where's the disconnect? It's between having everlasting life through believing Jesus is Christ and God and the rest of your life. The seven faced real world issues. They have mouths to feed. We know four of the seven are former commercial fishermen. They don't take their fishing boat out for pleasure, but to put food on the table. Yes, Christ is risen. Yes, God has forgiven them. But that doesn't put food on the table. Don't you have that same disconnect? What does believing Jesus is the Messiah? What does believing Jesus is the Son of God have to do with your everyday life? Go on the internet. Look in your Saturday newspaper. Read the flyers they sent to you by big churches. Their sermon series, their relevant, practical sermons, they are never about Jesus being the Messiah and Jesus being God the Son, are they? Why not? Because of the disconnect. Look around you in the boat. You see the type of people you're living with, life with? You got Peter who denied Jesus. You got Thomas who was able to steadfastly resist the preaching of 10 apostles for an entire week, not believing Jesus had risen. You've got the two sons of Zebedee, who Jesus called sons of thunder for wanting to call fire down upon a Samaritan village because it wouldn't welcome Jesus. Not only are we in the boat with deniers, doubters, and sons of thunder, we are these things. Jesus forgiving our denials, our doubts, and tempers doesn't mean they disappear. Yes, all my sins and those of others were on Jesus on Good Friday. Yes, He paid for them all. Yes, He rose without them. When death closes in, that's all that matters. What about when life does? Connect this great and precious forgiveness that I have in word and sacraments to the rest of my life. Better yet, connect Jesus, man and God, Messiah and Lord, to the rest of my life. The churches that can't or won't do that, instead connect people to practical, relevant things, like financial planning, like health screening, like marriage building. They connect them to things that you could find at any community college. But because it comes from a church, people think they're somehow getting religion. They're not. No one by themselves can make the connection between new life in Jesus and day-to-day life. Jesus must make it for us. This appearance of the risen Jesus is the longest after Easter account. Yet Jesus only says 16 words up to this point, two sentences. And they have nothing to do with Him being Messiah, God, or their being forgiven. They have to do with ordinary life and how Him being Christ and God and their being forgiven connects to ordinary life. Jesus asked them a question that He already knows the answer to. He says, "You don't have anything to eat, do you?" Now, the word fish isn't there in Greek. It's literally, "You haven't anything to go with bread." Now, translators think in this context, Jesus means fish. No, I think in this context, where seven fishermen are fishing for their lives with the knowledge that their sins are forgiven by a risen Messiah and God, but are unable to connect the realities of life with the wonders of their faith, I think it's best translated, "You don't have anything to eat, do you?" Boom! There it is. At least four of the seven, I said, were commercial fishermen. Where they are fishing was legendary at that time for its fish. Just two casts of the net would normally fill the boat. Yet they fished all night and got nothing. Jesus knows that. Yet He makes them confess it. They did their best, and it wasn't good enough. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. So says Psalm 127. Apart from Jesus, Christ and God, building and guarding your life, you've got nothing. Life skills won't help you. Training won't help you. How-to sermons and teaching, they're not going to help either. our disconnect is between the first and second articles of the Apostles' Creed. In the first article, we confess that God not only has created us, but takes care of us, giving us food, drink, house, home, spouse, children, land, animals, and all that we have. But that's not all we say in the first article. It closes by taking you to the second article. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. You are guaranteed God's fatherly divine goodness and mercy only because Jesus is your Messiah and Lord. See how this works out in the text. Jesus confronts them with their need and their helplessness to meet it on their own. Then Jesus meets their need in the face of doubts. Jesus tells them to cast their net on the right side of the boat. What? A change of a few feet will catch the fish that have eluded them all night? Wouldn't you have doubts about that happening? Don't you have doubts that God will provide for you in this economy? Don't you doubt sometimes how God will take care of your kids, your future, your life overall? But Jesus, Messiah, and God, your Savior, is bigger and better than any and all of your doubts. I quote from 2 Corinthians 1. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Not even your sins or the sins of others get in the way of Jesus. What does Peter find waiting for him on the beach? A charcoal fire. Only two places in the New Testament do we find that word. On the night Peter denied Jesus, and here are the only times a charcoal fire are mentioned. How distinctive the smell of charcoal burning is. Smells bring back memories faster, sharper, deeper than any other sense. Boom! Peter and perhaps John too are hit with this potent reminder of Peter's big sins. Jesus Christ and Lord knows you're a sinner who struggles against his sins. Yet that doesn't stop him from providing for you and your family. Catch all the life miracles the God of forgiveness and salvation works here. The catch of fish, the net not ripping like it did in Luke 5, charcoal and fire where there are no HEB or Bix to flick. These are the obvious miracles. Don't miss the fact, though, that Jesus feeds all seven of them on one fish and one loaf of bread. The insert doesn't want you to get that, so they translate it differently. But the Greek is very clear. Jesus has one fish and one loaf of bread. I don't think Jesus asked them to bring more fish so he can use them. What Jesus does is tell them to go take care of the catch before eating. And that's what they did. They sorted the small from the great and counted what they kept so they could divide it later among themselves. Remember when Jesus fed 5,000 and then 4,000? In both cases, Jesus took from the little the apostles could come up with and then fed the multitudes. Here, Jesus takes nothing from them. Also, note that unlike those other two occasions, Jesus doesn't lift his eyes to heaven, he doesn't bless the food, he doesn't give thanks. The man Jesus is now fully using his divine power and privileges as a man. He is showing them all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in his flesh and blood. In the man Jesus, who is the Messiah of the Old Testament and the Lord of the New, in the man who is also God, who forgives your many sins, you know all of God. You know the God who has the whole world in his hands, in who Jesus is and in what he does. In Jesus, you know personally the God who beats your heart and the hearts of your loved ones. In Jesus, you personally know the God who numbers all your hairs on your head, knows all your needs, and rules day-to-day life down to the sparrows in your backyard. We know the disciples eventually made the connection in the text because we're told they knew Jesus was the Lord. Connect the Jesus who forgives all your sins to the God who rules all things, and you will be relieved of a burden no amount of training, educating, or trying can relieve, that of building and guarding your own life. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.